It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service. More at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest. It's a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV, KRNW, trust your spring is off to a great start. We'll provide one segment in this May 2019 edition of our show. And with that segment, we'll be featuring Coach Ben McCollum and Senior Joey Wittes from the National Championship 2018-2019 men's basketball team right here at Northwest Missouri State University. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and please enjoy this month's edition. No stranger to Northwest Missouri State or hard work, Ben McCollum personifies that mentality right here within Bearcat men's basketball. McCollum was to have the 20th head coach in Northwest men's basketball history prior to the start of the 2009 and 2010 season. McCollum led the Bearcats to a perfect 38-0 record this season and the NCAA Division II National Championship. Northwest became only the fifth program to complete an undefeated season and capture the NCAA Division II National title. Coach Mack was named the NABC Division II National Coach of the Year. He also became the first non-Division I coach to earn the John McClendon National Coach of the Year from collegeinsider.com. McCollum has guided the Bearcats to six straight MIAA regular season titles and four consecutive MIAA tournament crowns. In 10 seasons at Northwest, Coach Mack has an overall record of 241-75. Over the past three seasons, McCollum has led the Bearcats to a mark of 100 wins and 5 losses. Other awards and notable facts include Coach Mack being the 2017 NABC and Division II Bulletin Coach of the Year. He has a 19-5 NCAA Division II tournament record. He's a 5-time MIAA Coach of the Year. He's the 2012 Clarence Big House Gaines National Coach of the Year. Joey Wittes is the MIAA Player of the Year and the most outstanding player at the MIAA tournament. He averaged a team-best 21.1 points per game and shot 50.9% from the field. He set Northwest's single-season record for scoring with 780 points, shattering the old mark of Justin Pitts set in 2016-17. Pitts had 754 points. Joey Wittes buried an MIAA high 114 three-pointers, and he shot 45.2% from beyond the three-point arc. Joey led Northwest in free throws made with 170, and he shot 86.3% from the free throw line. Joey earned a spot in the Elite Eight all-tournament team after helping lead Northwest to that national championship. Joey's earned first-team All-America status from NABC, Basketball Times, and the Division II Conference Commissioners Association. Wittes was also named the Division II Player of the Year by the Basketball Times. Coach Ben McCollum, Jody Wittes, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. Coach, we'll start with you. Preseason, you wondered, you had some scrimmages that were, you know, maybe less than satisfactory. What really were your expectations before that, say back in May, June, and July of last year?
We lost the four starters from the previous season, and the only person we brought back as a starter was Joey. And so going into the season, we had three, I guess, freshman point guards that we were going to rely on to make a lot of our plays. And then Ryan Welty, who had played quite a few minutes, and then Joey, obviously, and then other guys that hadn't played a ton of minutes. The other thing is we only had 11 guys and used only 7 scholarships. And part of that was we just didn't find the kids that we necessarily wanted. So we just stuck with the guys that we had. Went into the preseason, and the external expectations were that we were going to fall off somewhat. And I think even internally there was a little bit of belief that we may not be where we had been, and a little bit of an acceptance. The good thing is I don't think the guys, and especially Joey, accepted that reality or what was supposed to be reality. And we had a really good preseason. We were very hungry in the preseason. Kids wanted to perform. They wanted to be good. We got to the first scrimmage and thought that we were going to play well, and we actually played horribly. and so we got done with the scrimmage, and we had statted it, and I don't know if we got beat or if it was a close game. And I think it was me and Zach spent a couple days and just trying to evaluate, okay, what can we be great at? And we switched our lineup drastically and started to play Joey more at a post, essentially. So he was our 5, guarding the 5, but they had to guard him. And so that made us very difficult to defend, where there's a lot more space on the floor, a lot more shooting. Went into the next scrimmage, played okay, gave up a lead late. And then the last scrimmage, we actually won 90-45 against a really good Division II team. At that point, our kids, I think, started to see that this was going to work. Once we got to the Northern State game, we won in overtime.
Which is the opening game of the year.
Yes, sir. Yep, okay. Opening game of the year. And they were the national runner-up, probably should have been national champions. We beat them by, I think, 1 in overtime. The thing that did for our guys, because even going into the game, you could see that they believed that they could be good. I don't think that they ever trusted that they could be good. And I think there's a big difference between the two. When they won that game, it was almost like, we are going to be good. They accepted the fact that, hey, this is going to be another good season. And we went into the next game, played the national champions from the previous year, and beat them very handily, and just continued to improve, continued to focus on that process throughout the year. We never really got caught up in expectations like the previous season, because there weren't a lot of expectations. So we really just focused on the next day, because we never thought a national championship could be reality, and so you never focused outside of the present moment. And when you do that, and that's what we did, you're able to accomplish big things, and those results eventually took care of themselves. Before you knew it, we were in the national championship and celebrating a win. And so it was a great season, fun group.
Before the preseason, if I would have seen you on the streets and if I would have asked you, can you really see a path forward for another successful season, however that's defined by many people, could you see that in your mind's eye at all in, say, July, August?
You know, if it would have been you asking, I would have said yes, just because you're my boss.
But, right.
But no, I had a conversation. It's funny, I had a conversation with my wife. It might have been during the summer or at some point in the preseason, and I said, you know, it could be one of those seasons. It just could be a difficult year that, it could be up and down. We could beat some of the best, but we could also lose some of the worst. And I would not have expected 38-0. Now, we don't, as coaches, look ahead too much to that sort of thing. However, if you would have said, okay, you're a betting man, what's your record going to be? Well, you wouldn't say 38-0 after losing 4 starters and having, you know, 2 true freshmen and 1 redshirt freshmen be your point guards in a ball screen offense. So, no, absolutely not. We would have never expected 38-0, but we certainly were going to fight for it.
And, Joey, same kind of question as we think about transferring in from Minnesota State Mankato, having a successful junior year and, again, continuing winning ways here at Northwest Missouri State University, but then a very tough loss in a home playoff game to the school from which you transferred. Preseason, what was your mind about your senior year, your own expectations for not just personal but for team?
The motivation changed, and we came hungry every day, and I knew that all the guys were working hard in the summer and that I needed to also, and that me just being a senior and stuff, that I needed to be one of the main leaders out there. And whether that was vocally or just defensively or scoring, whatever it was, whatever we needed to do out there to win, that's what I needed to be, was that leader. So that's something I tried to really focus on and just guide some of the younger guys and just try to show them what it takes to win and stuff in such a tough league. And that's where Dre helped a lot, also helped me.
Dre Starzl, the other senior.
Yep, right. He helped me a lot this year just because he's been here for such a long time, and that you know, he's been through a national championship win. So he really helped me just on how to be a leader along with the seniors from the year before. So coming ready each day, whether it's a workout, a lift, practice, just ready to learn and grow each single day.
Maybe talk about that, not just the influence of a Dre Starzl, but, you know, growth and maturation from freshman year in college when, you know, arguably you're a leader then, and sophomore year, junior year. But how does leadership change, and how does the mindset change as you're like, oh, it's my last year in college and, you know, this is it here, let's go?
I think experience has a lot to do with that, and also just being able to stay under control and stay calm. You know, basketball is a lot of emotion in the game, and, you know, sometimes you can get caught up in that emotion. So having that experience just to be able to stay calm, you know, if something doesn't go your way, just to get back on defense, you know, make the next play and make things better. You know, that's what I saw with this team, is a lot of maturity and a lot of even the younger guys growing through the season, and they were able to calm the game down, especially our young guards that showed just how mature they truly were.
And you mentioned an extra lift or just an extra conditioning. Talk about that, that extra lift and the August running and all everything else that you do.
It's part of the culture that's been set here by you know, all the former players and then the coaching staff also, is that they try to treat every workout, whether it's lift, running, conditioning, whatever it is, like it's a championship game. So that when you get into championship games, it's, you know, you're not anxious, you're not nervous, you've treated every workout like that. So when we work out in the preseason, they're very intense. They're meant to help you build your teammates up rather than just focusing on how much pain you're in or how tired you are. It's focusing on building your teammate up and picking them up if they need help.
So I think I hear what you're saying is, back when I trained for marathons, they said, train your runs like you're running for a marathon. Now that I'm not training for marathons, I'm not necessarily doing that. Coach, what would you say to me in terms of my training regimen? Probably get back after it.
Yeah, no, you need to start running again. No, that's the first.
I'm running, just not like running a marathon.
That's the first part. Yeah, no, we're big believers in that preparation piece. They always say that anybody that you hear talk about nerves, I actually just heard something about Kobe Bryant the other day, and he was talking about big shots or tough moments, and he said there's no such thing as a tough shot because your preparation should allow you to be calm in those situations. And so we try to put them under a lot of duress in the preseason, and it's more the mental side. It's not the physical side as much. It's, okay, be able to kick the door down, but while you're kicking the door down, while you're pushing through fatigue, we want you to have a smile on your face. We want you to have a good attitude. We want you to stay present, and we want you to cheer on your teammates. And if you can do all those things while being that mentally fatigued, our theory is when you get into the game, it's not necessarily easy, but you've played at that speed with that intensity, with that emotion throughout all your preparation, so you're ready to go.
You've scheduled, you know, some tough pre-conference schedule. Talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, it started, I think it was my fifth year. We played a very difficult pre-conference schedule, and I think we ended up 2-4 in it. But it was very, very difficult. And I remember getting done with it and really feeling like we were good, but we were 2-4 at the time. And so I saw how much that helped us once we got to conference and once we got into postseason, made the Sweet 16, and I just really embraced that difficulty of you know, being exposed essentially every single game, where if you play fairly easy teams or a less difficult schedule, you're not able to improve. I think a lot of teams and a lot of people have a fear of being exposed and having those weaknesses exposed. And that's never been a fear of ours or our program. We want that to happen so that we can fix it. And so it's ready for the right times, whether it's a conference championship or a conference tournament championship or a national championship, that we've been exposed. We know our weaknesses and we've fixed them. Now you're going to have to find something else to beat us with. But there's only the best teams that can expose those things, so we try to play those.
Beating the last year's national runner-up and the national champion early on in those first couple of games, and then getting into that non-conference schedule, and then conference schedule starts, you know, like in early to mid-December. So you're steaming towards January 1. You've kind of run the table through 2018. You're headed into 2019, and you roll some more conference opponents. For both of you, when did it kind of click in that, hey, something special is starting to happen?
From right away in the preseason, you know, you could tell that these group of guys just, we wanted to work and we came hungry every single day. So that's kind of when I first, you know, saw the hunger that we had. And then those first two games against tough opponents, winning those just gave us a big boost. And, you know, I think just from there, we got better and better each day in each game. And then, you know, as we made our way through the season, yeah, I think a lot of the guys were just like, we're just going to get better each day and keep moving forward and focus on the game that's ahead of us, and that's it.
So, Joey, you saw some good things happening early on to say, yeah, it's kind of a, there's a positive road ahead, but then as each game goes on, you don't feel the pressure, but you're seeing something special develop along the way.
Yeah, and we were making a lot of mistakes and stuff early on in the season, but the positive that I saw out of that is that we were correcting those mistakes as we showed up to practice each day in each game. And, you know, we were making fewer and fewer mistakes through the season, and that's where you could really see that, you know, we have a special team here.
Coach, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say for me it was the first game. It was the Northern State game, and I just saw the look in our guys' eyes completely change when we won that. You could see, you know, I say going from belief to trusting. They trusted that we were going to be good. Throughout the season, it went so fast, and you get so focused on the process, and especially with this group, because I had no idea how good we could be, that there was never like a turning moment outside of that first game. It was just always like so process focused. I mean, it was even to the last game, you know, you got done with the last game, and it was like you won it, and it's like, okay, what's next? What's next? And it was just so process focused. And that's, I think, why we won it, was we were so focused on that and just enjoying and being consistent every single day that there wasn't any real turning points necessarily.
You're rated preseason number 5 in the nation. How do you withstand that pressure and then the added pressure of being undefeated after game 1, after game 10, after game 20?
You know, there's a couple things with this that people have always asked. And the first part of that is, if you maintain your focus on the process and being consistent and improving daily, and then you face difficult teams early in the season to where you get exposed, you can start to fix those mistakes. The other part of that is the pressure piece. And what we say, we get special kids, and what we tell kids even throughout the recruiting process is Northwest Missouri State is not for everybody. And if you don't like the pressure of being number 1 and taking everybody's best shot, if you don't like being scouted like that consistently, you know, a guy may hit a shot against you that he doesn't hit against somebody else. These guys are all of a sudden playing a little bit harder. If you don't like that, then don't come to Northwest Missouri State, because that's what you're going to get here. And to me, what that says about our program is, because of the shots that we take and the competition that we face, and we have to be at our best every single day, when they graduate from Northwest Missouri State and they go get a job or they play professionally or whatever it may be, they've done that for 4 and 5 years, or in Joey's case, 2 years, so that they're prepared for, you know, whatever comes at them in life. And ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. And I think this season just shows these kids will be prepared for life and be successful after here because of what happened on the basketball court.
Well, we want to remind our listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXV Maryville, Karen W. Chillicothe, and I'm your host, John Jasinski, talking today to men's basketball coach at Northwest Missouri State University, your Division II champions, Ben McCollum, and senior Joey Wittes. And Joey, so you run the table in the MIAA. We get to the opening round on a Thursday. Yours truly is traveling around the country waiting for, I'll catch the last few minutes of the game. And then it's like, oh, wow, we're playing the one versus the eight seed or whatever it was. And it was a tough game. Talk about that game and its impact, if any, on kind of steps forward.
Yeah, I think that game really woke us up just for the playoff basketball season. And, you know, I think a lot of people saw from the outside that they're probably going to host the region. If they lost that game, you know, it's not a big deal or whatever. We'll come back and host the region. But lucky enough, we were able to get out with a win. You know, there Emporia was a tough team, and they gave it their all. But it really woke us up knowing that we can't take anything for granted and that at any moment it could be over. And like Coach Mack said, we're going to get every team's best shot. And, you know, that's what happened in that game. And we were lucky enough to make plays at the end that gave us the win. But that game really, I think, woke us up and helped us going into the region, just making sure that, you know, we had to play our hardest and be as focused as we can be throughout the whole playoff.
And, Coach, I remember two seasons ago when we won the national championship, you know, we lost to Missouri Southern throughout the season, and it was kind of a little bit of a wake-up call to say, hey, look, you know, we got to come and bring our best shot. That Emporia State game, in your mind, what did it help you convey to the players?
You know, I thought Emporia played really well, and they had the kid kind of hit the shots where they had 38, I think he had 38 points. And that was the big thing with that game. I thought we got stagnant offensively, which helped us. Every game that we didn't play great helped us. I thought the game that really helped us get over the top was the Missouri Western game. Mm-hmm. They came in and hadn't played a second of zone all season long, and they just played the most random zone you could play as a point zone, which is, anyway, it was just a random zone and something you don't see very often, and we hadn't seen it on film. We got great shots throughout the game and just didn't make them. The reason we didn't make them is because when you're not used to the rhythm of that kind of defense, the shots that you normally hit, you can't hit. After that game, I mean, I think we spent, maybe an hour and a half on zone offense every day leading into that, you know, leading into the national tournament and even into the conference tournament to make sure that we didn't fall prey to that again. And I thought that game really woke us up and kind of put us over the top and helped us get going.
If you roll through hosting again, which we're all very thankful for, the community's thankful for hosting the regional and huge fan support. Talk about the importance of fan support during the hosting of a regional tournament.
It was interesting to hear the amount of joy that this team brought to the community and to just individual people that would watch us. And obviously it comes from the wins. Those wins help the joy of watching us. But how they went about doing it and how unselfish they were, how they act on the floor, how they represent Northwest Missouri State, how hard they compete for each other. We had a recruit in the other day, and he said the difference between the visit at Northwest Missouri State and everywhere else was how those kids interact with each other during a pickup setting. They build each other up constantly. There's not a lot of bickering. If there is, it's out of competition, and it's solved very, very quickly. And I think that's why everyone enjoyed watching this team and this community so much, to where it brought so much joy to everybody. So for the community, it was huge. For them to come out and support us, we are greatly appreciative of. You know, the fans at Northwest are as good as there is in Division II and at most, quite frankly, Division I levels. And that's what makes it so much fun to play here and so much fun to coach here.
Joey, thoughts about the regional and hosting and being in front of the hometown crowd?
Yeah, as a player and stuff, the fans mean everything. They give so much momentum, and the fans that we have here and the support that we have here is just incredible. And throughout the whole season, you know, they traveled to away games with us and, you know, made it seem like away games were home games, which helped us a lot. And then being able to host the region and have, you know, a packed gym for those three games, it really just, again, the intensity level increases and just gives us that extra motivation and fight that we need to get through those games.
And we don't have to relive the entire Elite Eight experience, but talk about how you guys felt arriving to the Elite Eight and really all you went through. I mean, it's been recounted elsewhere about the injuries and everything we went through and then winning the championship, but just the experience of the Elite Eight.
Yeah, it's again, at Northwest, there's no better fans. I mean, I think there was 6,000 fans at the national title game, and I would say 80 to 90% of them were Northwest Missouri State fans, and that's an 8-hour trip. And so the whole experience was awesome for our kids. Obviously, the city of Evansville and the people that put that on did a great job. It was a class event. You know, you just walk right across, you know, your hotel's right across from the gym, which made it real neat. But just seeing all the green and seeing them around the hotel, and then you walk through and, hey, congrats, coach, and hey, congrats to the players, I think makes it very special for our kids, and it's a memory that they'll never forget.
Joey?
Yeah, I think arriving at the Elite Eight and stuff, it was weird because I was expecting everyone on our team, and myself included, to be, you know, just so excited, you know, just looking at everything, looking at all the, you know, posters and all the hype of it and stuff. But I think everyone seemed pretty calm and just focused in, and that was a huge part of it that, you know, we knew it was a business trip, and, you know, it was fun. That first day, they put on a little event for us and had dinner and, you know, games and stuff, and that's where we had our fun. And then after that, it was, we're here for a reason to win the national championship, so we got to be focused in and not get caught up in all the hype. So for us to be able to do that, it was incredible. And, again, it's just partly just our coaching staff making sure that we're focused, making sure that we're prepared with scouting reports. And then, again, like Max said, just the amount of fans that traveled there, it just made it feel like a home game again. And that's what gives us that competitive edge.
Joey came as a Maverick, Mankato State Maverick, and transferred to Northwest. And then if you go to the first game of the Elite Eight, getting injured in that game, talk about why Northwest as a transfer, and then fast-forwarding to that first Elite game and getting injured, and kind of the feelings at that point.
I came down here on my visit. It was the first visit I took and the only visit I actually took. And I came down here and played with the guys and, you know, met some of the guys and talked with the coaches and saw the campus and everything. And right away I could just tell that this is a community of, you know, support, that the whole community supports all the programs, that, you know, the students support each other in whatever they're in. So I could see that right away. And then being able to play with the guys, you could just see that they played the right way and they, you know, they wanted to see the next person succeed. And, you know, that's really what I was looking for. I think when I got home a couple of days later, you know, I called Coach Mack back and said that I wanted to come down there, because just I knew I wanted that type of program, and I really wanted to push myself and, you know, compete for a national championship. So then fast forward to that Elite Eight game when I got hurt that first game. Thought it was my head at first, did the concussion protocol in the locker room, was fine. You know, jogged back out to the bench and stuff, felt fine, got in the game. And then I think we were on offense, and, you know, we either made or missed a shot, whatever it was. And I turned to run back on defense and just felt a sharp, piercing pain in the side of my hip. And it was like, man, like, I can't even run. And I knew I had gotten hit in my hip when, you know, I went down, but I just thought it was a bruise or something. So came out, got it taped up and whatever, and went back in. And, I mean, I just couldn't move. Made a pass to Hawk in the post, and I just felt the pain through my whole body, and I couldn't even move to run back. So, yeah, that was a tough moment. I've worked so hard just to get to the Elite Eight, and us as a team have, and then to have that injury and stuff, it was like, I'm not going to let this be the reason that we don't move forward and stuff. So a lot of credit to our training staff. They were amazing, keeping me healthy through, you know, it was 24/7 treatment through the next couple of days and through the next games. And it was just another obstacle in the way, but we were able to fight through it, and that's what it took.
It's pretty obvious you didn't let that stop the quest for that national championship. Coach, how do you as a coach address the trials and tribulations throughout the year, but especially in a game like that where you do need contributions from role players and so on, those that are maybe don't have as many minutes. How do you address that to still move the team forward, let people grow, but, you know, accomplish your objectives?
You know, honestly, we don't address it a whole lot, really. It's just next man up, and we prepare every day, and we prepare everyone the same. And so I think it's just, hey, next man up, and they're ready to go. I think too often when people focus on, okay, this guy's injured, it's going to be very difficult to win. But beforehand is when that's important. And so we try not to emphasize it a ton. We really don't, I don't think we even said anything about it, to be quite honest with you. When you say something about it, what I feel like sometimes it becomes an excuse to lose. Just because somebody's injured, it's a 5-on-5 game. So you don't want to build in excuses or explanations for you to lose. And we also don't want any crutches. So our thing was, okay, next man up. We'll play with whoever we got. And we did in the Elite Eight game. And we had two starters out, obviously, in the second half and one for the whole game. And the other guy stepped up, played fantastic. It was, again, I don't think anybody said a word. They weren't like, oh, let's win this for Joey or let's win this for Diego or whatever it may be. It's just like, next man up, let's play. And no excuse, still got to win the game, and they did.
What are the moments of the game that now, sitting back here, what kind of ignites your energy and your passion about the final game itself?
The first half was just back and forth. I felt like we, you know, we'd score a couple baskets here, you know, get a stop, score a couple, and then they'd get a stop and score a couple, and it was just back and forth, and just really felt like, okay, this is going to be a battle the whole game. You know, that's what it's going to be. And we went on a little run there before halftime, and Hawk made that shot right at the buzzer there, and that gave us just a huge momentum boost going into halftime. And I think at halftime, you know, we all realized, all right, we can do this, but it's going to be a fight, and we gotta step it up and just give it our all. And then in the second half, you know, just being able to fight, you know, go on runs here and there and get a couple stops that we needed. I think especially Welty, Kirk, and Diego all did a great job on their start player. And that was the fight that we needed, and that was the push that we needed. And just seeing the aggression in their face and the fact that they were not going to let him score. And if he did score, it wasn't going to be easy. You know, Kirk got an elbow to the face and stuff, and, you know, he was just willing to give it his all. So I think that right there and seeing that really gave a huge push and motivation for our whole team.
And, of course, listeners would want me to ask you about the shot. But did you call bank on that famous shot? Or
No, I didn't. But, yeah, it was funny. I saw Trevor drive on it, and, you know, I saw him get in trouble and kind of fumble it. And, you know, I was right behind him and was ready for the pass to be able to shoot it. And I saw him try to pass it to me, and then Hawk kind of tipped it, which I had to take a step back then and grab it. When I saw Hawk tip it, I'm just like, all right, I just got to throw it up and hope it goes in. And lucky enough, it went in, and, you know, I didn't call bank. It just got lucky, and sometimes in big games like that, you need some luck, and that's what it was.
That certainly will go down in history, Joey, as one of the key shots in our history. Coach, as you think about championship game, passions and energies as you reflect back on that game?
Yeah, a few things kind of come to mind. I guess the whole scouting process leading up to it, for about 2 days you don't sleep, and you're just trying to, it's like a puzzle, you're just trying to figure it out, and you're always on edge because you don't have the answer. And so you're just on edge. It's like, I got to get this done so the guys have confidence. I can't be, you know, when you do your final scouting report, you can't be all over the map. You can't give them one thing, then take it out, and then put a new thing in, and then on through. So those 2 days at about, I think it was about 3 a.m. the day before the national title game, I guess the morning of the national title game, I kind of had figured them out. And it was like, okay, we've got them. And I just fell asleep, and it was comfortable, and I was ready to go. To start the game, there was one funny story and one shot that I thought – really helped us kind of get over the hump. To start the game, we had defensively, we were supposed to switch a little shuffle screen, and then there was a certain ball screen coverage that we were in, which we do all the time. And Hawkins is doing something completely opposite for about 5 minutes, just like he's in a different world. And he was in a completely different world for about 5 minutes. And I called him over and I go, Hawk, what are you doing? And he says, I don't know, coach. He goes, I'm a little excited. I go, I can tell. I said, calm down. You got to do the right things here. And so he calmed down. It was funny. He was just all over the map. And the good thing about him is when he's all over the map and he's doing the wrong thing, a lot of times he's doing the right thing because he plays so darn hard. The shot that I thought really got us over the hump, obviously Joey's, but there was a drive and kick, and it might have been from Joey, as a matter of fact. Either Joey or Trevor drove. They were helping off of Diego because they were trying to pick their poison, essentially, and take the other shooters out of the game. Drove and kicked Diego in the corner. And he hit a big three, and I think that might have put us up 5 or 6 or some point. And I thought once we had that lead, it might have been with about 10 minutes to go too. Once we got that lead, our defense and the way we play, I thought we were going to be able to take it home. And then it was just a fight after that.
We can talk about shots all we want, halftime shot from, you know, Welty to Hawkins and all this. But the defense at the end of the day was just so intense during the Elite Eight, before the Elite Eight for the whole season, but especially a championship game, just really was a kicker there. And in fact, the Point Loma's president talked to me about our defense. So that's kudos to your colleagues, Jolie, your peers, and certainly coach, your coaching and what you guys do. We'll take a break right now. We're listening to All Things Northwest on KXV Maryville, KRW Chillicothe.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing opportunity for Northwest Missouri. The NCED Business Support Team is at your service, more at nottoway.biz. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park features the Seacrest 18 Golf Course and the Watson 9 Executive Course. More information about Mazingo's golf offerings and tee times is available at mazingolake.com.
Welcome back to All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We're talking to Coach Ben McCollum, the national champion and really national coach of the year. And we'll talk about awards in a minute. And certainly Joey Wittes will talk about awards with you, our senior from Northwest Missouri State's championship team. Coach, you talk about the process a lot. I'm sure as you do your postseason banquet each and every year, you might say, boy, it's been a special group, and boy, it's been a great year with you and your parents and your family members and so on. But why did this one stand out, not necessarily above others, but how was it different than other seasons?
I mean, 38-0, I think you'll reflect back and say, man, that was unbelievable. Just the consistency to be able to go undefeated doesn't happen. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And to do it, losing four starters, and to do it starting two freshmen is just absurd. I think that's the big thing that you remember specifically from this team. I think with this team, what made them special was they always had fun. I always said it early in the season, they were on the edge of disaster and on the edge of greatness. And that's because they were just goofy and fun, and I had to get used to it to start. I'm naturally a fun person, but they were completely on the other side of the fence of it. And so, you know, I just remember so many fun times. Every practice was fun. They were always in a good mood. They're always goofing around. It really helped me enjoy. I think for a coach, we try to focus, again, on establishing that culture, and the culture continues itself. So every season really runs together. And I think that's the sign of a good program is, you know, Joey wants this program to continue to be successful, because really how you left it, in my mind, says how good a leader you were, you know, that's how all of our kids act, and that's why it continues itself. So this is really 38-0 is a part of the previous year and the previous year and all the way through, even to when I played.
How important, Coach, was the leadership of Dre Starzl and Joey Wittes as seniors?
Really important. I wasn't surprised, but a little bit in the way they did it. Joey naturally led with his actions, just his energy, especially in the preseason, where his consistency of being fairly business yet still having fun with this kind of group, guys gravitated towards that and they wanted to do well for him. And I don't think it was intentional necessarily by him. It was just how he led. And I think a lot of times when leaders lead, that's how it is. And there's a few traits that you have to have. You have to be consistent, and he was. And you have to make sure that you love your teammates, and he did. And so those two things helped. And then obviously with Dre, he knew the program inside and out. He's seen it happen. And so he was able to obviously help Joey, who played a little bit more, to lead the way he needed to lead.
And Joey, as you think about support systems, I've had the distinct pleasure of meeting your parents and family members. And talk about the role of parents, the role of family members on a championship run.
Yeah, I mean, my parents were, you know, the 2 years that I've been here, they probably only missed maybe two or three games, and that was because of snow up in Minnesota. So, you know, they were able to come to most of my games, which means everything to me, especially being so far away. Just that they were able to support me and, you know, be physically there, that meant a lot to me. And then, you know, just times where, you know, felt homesick and stuff, having them, you know, I knew they were coming the next week or something for a game. So that was really nice. And then my group of friends, they came down. They actually surprised me for the national championship game. But they had left at 11 o'clock at night the night before and drove through the night to come to the game and then stayed that night. So that was just amazing. And another quick story is I have one of my cousins just recently learned how to fly and got his pilot's license. So him and my uncle took their plane and flew down to two games this year. So the support group that I have back home is amazing. And, you know, it's my family and means everything to me. So that really is just amazing.
Coach, we can talk about support groups. Amazing group of young men, but an amazing family structure and support structure, and that it's not just the families, but you're talking about training staff and equipment staff and radio announcing staff, and the list goes on and on and on. But there's a lot of pieces that go into that puzzle.
Absolutely, and we've got the best at every position in my mind, and that's what helps us be successful. Like you said, from the athletic training staff, strength conditioning coach, it probably goes, you know, the media that covers us was awesome. I mean, it was probably as good as it's ever been, and we certainly appreciate, you know, they paint us in an unbelievable picture from an external standpoint, which obviously helps with recruiting and helps our kids see themselves painted in that kind of that way. And then the parents on top of it, the janitors, you know, they're as supportive as they get. For us, they open the gym at any time. I mean, some of our kids even have their phone numbers, and they'll text them at 11 o'clock at night and say, hey, can you let me in the gym? And they do it. And, you know, I think that says a lot about Northwest Missouri State. For me, the parents, they allow me to coach their kids. That's difficult. I've got three kids of my own. And it's hard to just allow somebody to coach your kid, especially if they're not playing as much as you feel like they should. And I have zero issues with any of our parents. They are as supportive as it gets, which allows me to do my job and allows our staff to do their job.
We'll have to put a little plug in. I mean, we can plug everybody, but certainly KXCB KRNW, our friends John Coffey and Matt Tritton were recently nominated for an award that we'll find out about here in June about play-by-play excellence. And so we give our best to John and Matt and Matt Gorder and some of the others.
I've got a funny story about John. We first national championship, we go up there and John was with us when we were 12 and 15, right, and 10 and 16, and we were terrible. And so he was blessed with the opportunity to interview me after those losses. And he would always he could tell when I was grouchy, and he'd always spin everything, and he knew what questions not to ask me, but he'd still come to every game, and he was always real positive. So all my family loved listening to him because he could spin anything to make it sound like we were doing well. But we got to that national title game, and he but he had laryngitis. He couldn't talk, essentially, and lost his voice for the national title game. He had been through all that, and he wanted to go on so bad, and he couldn't. And so it was real nice to be able to have him call our game for this 2019 national title game, because I know how much it would have meant to him for that one. But obviously, with Matt Gorder, he was able to call that one, and now John was able to call this one. So
it's a great, great story. You know, the next question I was going to ask Coach, but Joey, I'll ask you instead. Austin Meyer takes over the job of the head women's coach. We're so pleased to have him at the helm. But then, you know, Coach Mack brings Bryson Williams back into the fold, and then Bryson Williams takes a job with the Detroit Pistons. And then Zach Schneider really was going to begin as a graduate assistant, and all of a sudden assistant coach. So from a player's perspective, you're seeing all this take place. Does that matter? What's in your mind from a playing point of view?
It didn't matter so much just because it, you know, kind of happened through the off season and stuff. So when we actually got here on campus in August, you know, we had our team and staff ready to go. I think it kind of described how this season was, just that, you know, we only had 11 players and then, you know, a head coach and then a couple GAs really, and then Zach, an assistant coach. But, you know, we're a dysfunctional group, and we might not be the most organized, but that's just how we are, and we find a way to make it happen. But we were ready to go to battle with whoever we had, and, you know, like Mac kind of said earlier, it's just next guy up, and that's how it is, and that's how it'll always be.
Coach Mac, Zach Schneider, sometimes doesn't get the credit either. Obviously, a lot of folks, we could talk about in this program, but maybe just talk about his impact too.
He's like pretty much everybody in our program, where they do their job, and they do a great job of it. It's interesting, and this goes for Zach. It's you win a conference coach of the year or whatever, and it's like, well, I've already won my coach of the year. We won the league, and that's the mentality that everybody in our program has, is they want to win championships, and so they'll do whatever job it takes and receive as little credit as they can. And Zach, in particular, has always been that way. He just finds ways to support the program and to improve the program, and to be thrusted into that big of role. And you're supposed to be a GA. That's a hard role to be in. And then on top of it, you're dealing with me. That's not easy either. So he did a fantastic job and just kept the train rolling, and obviously and improved it as well.
What about the historical making sense of this season really stands out most for you here in mid-May?
I think just the thing that I'll remember most is, you know, obviously going undefeated, winning the national championship was amazing and incredible, and, you know, who knows if it'll happen again ever. But the thing that I'll remember most, and I think, you know, everyone on the team will remember most, is just the memories that we made and, you know, the amount of fun that we had going on road trips and stuff. And as a team, we hung out outside of just practice and road trips. You know, we were always together, finding stuff to do, just hanging out, playing video games, whatever it was. And it was a blast. And, you know, I can honestly say that I've made some of my best friends here, being here just a short amount of time also. So it just shows the type of people that are in this community and at this school. So just the memories and the amount of fun that we had is just what I'll remember the most.
And Coach Mack?
Yeah, I think from a kind of historical standpoint, obviously the memories like he talked about are the big thing that we as coaches remember. I remember we were going into the Washburn game, and I had gotten a text about, you know, making memories, and I was sitting there, you know, I've made a lot of memories with this team. I want to make history. And so that was our big thing going in. I actually watched The Sandlot. You've probably watched The Sandlot. Babe Ruth comes out and he says, heroes are never forgotten, but legends never die. That one. And I was like, man, let's make history. And let's not make memories anymore. Let's make history. And, you know, that's what they did. And the 38-0 is something that's never going to be forgotten. And I don't know that anybody will ever beat it, but I also said that about the 2017 national. I don't think I'll ever win another national title, and we won one. So you know, maybe we'll beat it next year, go 39-0.
So never know.
We'll see.
That'd be all right. That'll be my closing question. But awards, the bevy of awards the team received, but individually, Joey, we can go off on MIAA and postseason and so on. Coach, we can talk about MIAA and postseason and the John McClendon Award, Collegiate Coach of the Year. What do these awards mean to you?
To me, looking at the awards and stuff, they're very cool, and I'm honored to have received some of them. You know, number one, I couldn't do it without the coaching staff that I have and the teammates that I have. You know, they allowed me to play the type of game that I needed to and to succeed in the way that I needed to win some of those. So, you know, majority of the credit goes to them because, you know, they're the ones doing the hard work. You know, I'm just going out there and playing how I play. And then the other thing is, you know, they especially wouldn't mean anything either if we didn't win the national championship. And as cool as the individual awards are, it's that national championship that's the coolest one that we got.
Before I turn to Coach for closing words, Joey, next steps for you?
I'm going to go back home and start working and, you know, move back home with my family and just enjoy my time being back in Minnesota.
There you go. Coach McComb, the importance of the awards and kind of next steps for the program.
You know, the awards, they're humbling, and we're grateful that we were able to get as many awards as we received. Like most people say, and it's not coach speak for us, is I think that's just a result of the process of a lot of people. And I'm the beneficiary because I get the award, but it's everybody else that earned it. And I learned at a young age that you just surround yourself with as many good people as you can possibly surround yourself, and hopefully people that are better than you in a lot of things and in a lot of teams that can make your program successful. The future of the program, we'll try to keep getting good players and keep the culture up and keep trying to be better every single day and continue to focus on the process. When you win a national title or when your season's over, there is, in good programs, in a good culture, there's no closure. It just continues itself. And so although our season was over, for me, it hasn't ended. It's always next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. And you focus solely on that process so that people can see those results and get the results that they want. And then once they leave your program, hopefully they're better for it because they understand that process piece. And hopefully we've done that for our kids, and hopefully we'll continue to do that in the future.
Well, I know I can speak for listeners of All Things Northwest and say that we all look forward to staying in touch with Joey Wittes. Joey, your next steps and where life leads. We thank you for being a Bearcat and appreciate your time here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And, you know, I'll definitely be back at school many times. So.
Well, and Coach, thank you. And we look forward to the future of Northwest basketball and opening up with Duke in the preseason and getting it started again next year. But the process starts right now, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I literally just got a text from one of my buddies that saw it, said that Duke had got another five-star commit. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. Will.
Yeah. Might have to suit you up, Dr. J.
Well, okay, we better close the program right there. Joey Wittes and Coach Ben McCollum, we thank you. We thank your teammates, the coaching staff, and all of the support staff and family for a historic run and really setting the stage for a sustainable and successful program. Thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Coach Ben McCollum and Senior Joey Wittes. Thanks, too, to our producer, Austin Hall, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KXCV General Manager Rodney Harris. Friends, we here at Northwest focus on student success. Thanks for assisting us in enhancing our focus on students through your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV, KRNW, and Public Radio. I'm John Chasinski. Take good care and keep celebrating and advancing our region.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from the City of Maryville and Nottoway County Economic Development. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass. audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is produced by sports media major Austin Hall. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.